Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anugam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And as always, I hope all of you are staying safe. And our thanks to everyone who's battling this for us on the front line, the health authorities, the civic authorities, the police, and everybody else who's going above and beyond in ensuring that we are safe at home. My guest today, a returning guest, absolutely thrilled to have him because we love to have returning guests on our show. In fact, this is the third time that India Lens will be on our shows. The first time that India Lens was in our studio was when Gaurav had come all the way from Delhi to Bombay, and we were talking about India Lens back in March 2019. You should check out that episode. And then when I went in Delhi and I spoke with Mayank Kashwaha, we were talking about lending for millennials. So for this episode, I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome back Gaurav Chopra, CEO, India Lens. And we're going to talk about a very, very relevant topic in these times. Digital lending 2.0, okay, which is, in fact, it's a range of financial products that India Lens has put out in these times, which is basically contactless financial products like loans, insurance, and a line of credit. And as all of you would know, sitting at home and having access to financial products in the contactless way is the way to go, at least until the curbs are lifted. So, Gaurav, welcome back to the show. Thanks for doing this for our listeners. Let's get started. Gaurav, what's been happening here? You know, it's been about 45 days. That's about 1.5 months since this crisis started. From your perspective as someone, you know, who has a ear to the ground on both the lending and the borrowing side, let's start with this for our listeners. What's been happening so far?
Thank you so much, Anupam. It's my pleasure to be back on the show. I hope you and all our listeners are keeping safe. Coming to your question on the impact of COVID on lending, the truth is that it has had a huge negative impact both on the borrowing side and on the lending side. By that, I mean that we have seen a fall in demand coming from borrowers. At the same time, we are seeing a fall in supply coming from lenders that include banks and NBFCs. Now, the reasons for this vary for both these groups. On the demand side, what we see is that, you know, many borrowers who were earlier borrowing for expenses such as home renovation, summer travel, or weddings in the family now actually don't need these loans, at least in this time of the lockdown. So this demand, I would say, has been postponed to a few months later, and, you know, we will see it coming back then. Now, coming on to the supply side, here, the story is slightly different. Here, there are two key factors that are coming into play. One is on the risk side, which is that lenders are being cautious on whom to lend and whom not to lend as they see that there is uncertainty on job losses and wage cuts. So if they are not certain that a person, you know, will be having a same income that he was having a month or two back, or there is a fear that, you know, the job might not be there in a post-COVID world, that is where the lenders are being slightly cautious. Also, many lenders who, you know, earlier used to rely on physical processes such as verification of borrowers or doing KYC by meeting the borrower in person are unable to do so in the lockdown. And that is the, you know, logistical reason for them not to be able to lend in these times.
Great, Gaurav. So, has the RBI done anything out here? Because, you know, getting a loan from a bank or an NBFC or even online sometimes requires you to have some physical documents submitted. So just give us an idea about that so that people can then understand how useful contactless lending is.
Yes. So see, now when a borrower is supposed to take a loan, there are a few requirements from the lender's side. These requirements are to make sure that, firstly, the KYC is done in the right manner. Secondly, we need to make sure that the ability of the borrower is there to repay the loan. And that is where your payslips or your banking comes into play. Now, in any kind of a digital process, the idea is to make these two parts, which is the KYC and the ability of the borrower, also follow a paperless process. Luckily, on the KYC front, with, you know, Aadhaar being in place, with the Aadhaar database being accessible through a person's OTP that comes on their phone, that burden has moved from away from physical, and a user simply needs to either do a verification of his Aadhaar card through the Aadhaar website and provide any additional documents that may be required over his you know, phone or camera that could be his identity proof, such as a PAN card or an address proof, such as, you know, a photograph of his utility bill. Similarly, on the banking front, you know, gone are the days where we used to, you know, submit physical bank statements. We are, you know, simply taking these directly from the borrower, either, you know, when he's uploading his bank statements onto the portal, or if the borrower is, you know, logging into his net banking, but instead of making a transaction, the technology has provided us access to his bank statements when the borrower gives consent on the same. So these are, you know, processes that are now very much active in the whole lending space to ensure a contactless, you know, lending happens.
Great. So now let's talk about your initiative, Digital Lending 2.0. Tell us what it is, what do you have to offer, and how can customers, you know, avail of it?
Right. So while demand and supply of loans has definitely gone down, there are still people who are looking for loans, right? And these are people who want to borrow in these times. It could be for a variety of reasons. One is, you know, for small businessmen, small shopkeepers who are either running their shops right now and need capital for, you know, making sure that they are able to meet the demand of the users. At the same time, there are, you know, few people who want to, let's say, repay a high interest rate credit card, and they want to borrow at a much lower interest rate that a personal loan provides. So that is, you know, where the demand is coming. At the same time, we are seeing a lot of our lenders, while they have reduced lending, they are still keen to lend to segments where they believe that, you know, risk will not be disproportionate to the reward that they're able to get. So, you know, we thought that how do we make the lender and the borrower both meet in this environment where physical, you know, meetup is not possible. And that's where we launched a 100% touch-free loan and related products, where not only is the loan product 100% digital, it is also agentless. So from a borrower standpoint, all the borrower now needs is his mobile phone and his PAN card and Aadhaar card. And he can simply come onto our app, which is the India Lends app on his Apple or on his Android phone, and can follow the loan journey there. Now, this is for a digital loan. We've also launched a digital touch-free line of credit, which is a pretty simple product, which we are asking our users to use in case of emergency. What the product does is that, you know, you can simply activate your line, which could be a line of, let's say, 5 lakh rupees. And, you know, to activate this line, there is no cost. It is a zero cost product. But it gives you the peace of mind that there is a line of 5 lakh rupees as and when you need it. So, you know, God forbid there is an emergency in the house and you have the India Lends 5 lakh rupee line active, by simply clicking a button on the app, there will be a instant transfer of the money into your savings account. And that could be, you know, any amount up to 5 lakhs. So let's say somebody wants to borrow 50,000 rupees. He can simply transfer that money into his account. The charges on the interest rate or on the processing fee will only be charged on the 50,000 rupees and not on the entire line. So that we felt was, you know, an emergency loan product that was required, and we added the whole touch-free flavor to it as well. And lastly, you know, given that a lot of people are rightly worried about their health right now, we also, you know, partnered with a few insurance companies and launched a touch-free health insurance product, which also covers COVID and other illnesses. And that, again, can be taken, you know, from our website. So that is our, you know, Digital 2.0, which while we've launched, you know, during the COVID days, we do believe that this is going to be the new normal even afterwards, where, you know, borrowers would prefer to do everything on the comfort of their homes and their smartphones, as opposed to, you know, speaking to people on the phone or meeting people, you know, physically.
Great. So I want to understand the products a little bit better, right? Now, you said that I would need, in terms of my documentation, I would need probably my PAN card, my Aadhaar card, and I mean your basic ID proof and address proof. And I would then also need a bank account for the money to come in. I've got that part right. What would be the cost that I'm looking at out here, whether it is in terms of processing fees or in terms of the rate of interest for these, for the loans and the line of credit side of the products?
Right. So you are absolutely right that those are the documents that you will need, and that can be transferred to us using your phone's camera. Now, on the interest rates and other charges, these are same as they used to be pre-COVID as well, which is that it varies basis the credit profile of the borrower. So, for example, on India Lens, you can get a loan as low as 30,000-40,000 rupees, and you can go on to get a unsecured loan of 25-30 lakh rupees as well. And these are being offered by all the big banks, NBFCs and fintechs that we have in India. The interest rates over here can be as low as 10.5%. However, to get a 10.5% interest rate loan, somebody has to be having a very high credit score, which would be above 750, 775 on the Experian or CIBIL Credit Bureau. And at the same time, should be earning well, right? So that is where the 10.5% loan comes in. The usual interest rates then go up to about 20-25% as well. But these are mainly for lower ticket loans. So if somebody wants to borrow, let's say 50,000 rupees, and in that case, the interest rate could go up to 20-22% also. The average that we see comes out to around 15-16%. And on top of that, there is a processing fee, which ranges from 0.5% to 2.5% of the loan amount. Again, depending on how big the loan is and what is the credit profile of the borrower. So these things have remained unchanged even in the COVID times.
Okay. And on the health insurance part, I'm guessing that you are the intermediary, in the sense that if I want a health insurance policy via India Lens, then you would put me through in touch with some insurance player. And then I have to take that up with him. For example, if the insurance provider wants me to do a health checkup before getting the policy, that could be the case. That's between me and him. Is that right?
So we've made it actually even simpler for the customer in this case. So we have done integrations with our insurance providers where the entire journey can again happen on the person's smartphone on our website. And in this case, we have launched products where there is no need for a physical health checkup. The physical health checkup normally comes in for medical insurances, which are of a very high amount. Here we've limited that right now for the COVID times. And hence, only have shown products where a physical checkup is not required.
Okay, fantastic. I think that's helpful for our listeners. And if they want to know more, they can check out your website and the app. And on this note, we'll take a small break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the RBI moratorium. We're going to understand it, how it works, whether you should take it, whether you shouldn't take it. And Gaurav is going to explain that to us. And of course, something that I always like from Gaurav is his tips for all of our listeners on how to manage their credit, their loans, their outstanding, especially in these very difficult times. So folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to this episode of Paisa Paisa. My guest, Gaurav Chopra, CEO at India Lens. We've been talking about digital lending 2.0 from India Lens, a product that they've just launched in these very difficult times, so that people who want financial products like a loan, a line of credit, or a health insurance policy can go to India Lens and get this done contactless via the app or the website. So we spoke about that. In this part of the podcast, we're going to be talking about the RBI moratorium. I need to know how it works, how it's been working actually, because it's been quite a while since the RBI and then the banks offered this to all their customers. And also, of course, whether you should take it. So Gaurav, let's go through this. What exactly is the moratorium? Because when it was first announced, there was a lot of confusion in terms of whether I'm getting 3 months holiday or I don't need to pay for 3 months, or if I have to pay, then I have a high interest rate. So let's clear the confusion first. Just explain the concept of a moratorium first for our listeners.
Absolutely. So moratorium essentially means a temporary stoppage of an activity, right? So in the lending world, this also means that there is a stoppage of payments from borrowers on term loans, right? And what does this stoppage mean? It means that for a few months, the lender will permit the borrowers not to make any payments to the lender, and that will then get collected later on. So that is a very simplistic way of looking at, you know, what does a moratorium mean in the lending world. Now, coming specifically to the RBI moratorium for India during the COVID times, it was announced that for 3 months, there will be a moratorium that the borrowers can take from their lenders. Now, in reality, this was actually for 2 months, because by the time it was announced, the March EMIs had already gone through for most borrowers, and April and May was with the 2 months left. So it was a payment holiday that was being offered. How it works is that, firstly, this is a payment holiday. It does not mean that it is payment forgiveness. So the borrowers still have to repay the EMIs or the credit card bills or any of their interest. It is simply pausing that for the 2 or 3 month period. Now, what happened in the moratorium is that while there is a pausage in the amount that you need to pay your lender, the interest is still accruing. So what it means is that, you know, let's say you had a home loan of 50 lakh rupees and there was a monthly EMI that you were paying of 2 lakh rupees. This EMI for 2 months will get stopped. And then when you come out of the moratorium period, you will be liable to pay these, your same EMIs, which would also then, include the interest charges on the principal amount. And in all likelihood, your overall loan repayment tenure would get extended by 2 or 3 months. So if, you know, you had, let's say, 48 installments left, this could mean that, you know, you now have 50, 51 installments left, and you will also be charged for the interest that, on these amounts. So that is, what has happened in the RBI moratorium. And we have seen numbers coming in over the last few days from the finance ministry. I believe over 3 crore users have asked for moratorium from the state-owned banks. I would imagine the number to be similar for other entities as well, which are the NBFCs and the privately held banks. And in terms of, how borrowers went about taking this, this was essentially done in 2 ways. And that is specific to the lender. Most of the lenders had this as an opt-in service, whereby a borrower had to either call their lender or email their lender and instruct them that please do not collect my EMIs on my due date, as I want to opt for the RBI moratorium. If they did not do this, then their EMIs would continue as usual. Some lenders went out and did the opt-out service as well, where the lenders automatically enrolled their borrowers onto the moratorium. This was done by very few lenders and some credit card companies. But in this case, if the borrower does not want to go ahead with the moratorium, that is when he has to, you know, either call the lender or click on the link that the lender may have sent them on an email. So that is how the response to the moratorium has been. Lastly, I think there is now talk about a further extension on the moratorium for another 2 to 3 months. That is still very much, I would say, in talks as opposed to anything steady coming out on that. So I would suggest all our listeners to wait for some formal communication coming from the RBI, coming from the lenders, and not assume that this is automatically going to get renewed.
Okay, now I'm going to use this as, going into my next question. So what would be your advice to listeners in general about the moratorium? Should they use it? Should they not use it? What's a very good case when they should use it, in fact? Because aisa agar hum kisi ko bhi bol rahe hain ki for 3 months you don't have to pay, then obviously everyone will leap at it. But there's a lot of fine print out there, because this period does not come at no cost. There is definitely a cost there. Like you said, interest will still be levied. So what's your general view? What's your general advice to people about this moratorium, for taking it or not taking it?
So my advice to all my customers, family, friends has been that if you have money, please continue to repay your loans and do not even think about taking the moratorium, for the same reasons that you mentioned, that this is not something that is coming free of cost. your interest is still getting charged, and you are, by delaying this payment, you know, you are actually increasing the amount that you're going to be repaying the bank over a period of time, given that, you know, your principal that would have ideally reduced because of your monthly payments has not gone down, and the interest on that principal still continues to accrue. So I would repeat my advice to all listeners is that if you have money, then please continue to make your loan payments, continue to repay your credit card bills in full. Only if you feel that, you know, there is a shortage of funds right now, or you feel that there may be a shortage of funds, let's say in the next month or so, then as a last resort, you know, you can opt for the moratorium. But otherwise, it's a good practice to continue to repaying your loan payments.
And of course, most importantly, please speak to your bank, NBFC or credit card or whoever it is that is offering you the moratorium to be very clear about the terms and conditions of that. Remember, folks, this is not free. There are costs to it. So please speak to your loan provider to understand the terms and conditions of the moratorium. Great. So Gaurav, last part of the show, the one that I like the most. Just, you know, if you can just tell our listeners a few tips, a few pieces of advice on how to manage our credit in these very difficult times. Because we now know that it's been 45 days since it started and it's not going to get over very soon. So, of course, all of us hope that it gets over soon, but we just need to be prepared. So just walk us through some general tips that you would be giving, you know, on how to manage our usual stuff, you know, like our credit cards, home loans, auto loans, our outstandings in these very difficult times.
So the advice actually is the same as it is in usual times as well, which is that please be responsible with your money. Now, what does responsibility mean when it comes to borrowing? The number one rule is, you know, borrow only when you need to. There is no need to borrow if, you know, there is no need, or, you know, it is only to, you know, you're only borrowing to incur an expenditure which is not really there. Right. So firstly, borrow only when you need to. The second is that now, you know, that we are all sitting at home, hopefully having some free time to, you know, think about our finances. This is the right time to explore, you know, are there any better offers out there that can help me save in the longer term? For example, if let's say you have a home loan and the interest that you're paying on it is 9.5%. You know, is there a lender out there, either today or in the post-COVID world, that can offer you a loan of, let's say, 8.5% or 8.2%. And the small, you know, percentage change, especially on a product like a home loan, can be a huge saving on a month-on-month basis that you know, borrowers should definitely look at doing. And the same goes for all other kinds of loans as well. So if you have a personal loan going on and let's say that's at 16%, can you actually reduce that from 16% to, let's say, 12% or 10.5%, right? And every penny over here, you know, that you're saving is money that you're earning as well. So that would be the second advice, that please review all your existing loans and try to bring down the price wherever possible. Lastly, I would say, you know, this is an advice on credit cards. I think most of us have realized in this lockdown that, you know, we don't really need to spend as much as we used to on our credit cards, right? It has all come down to spending on essentials. And I hope that that becomes a habit going forward, which ensures that we don't get into debt traps of a credit card. I do sell a lot of credit cards. And the reason we sell it is because we feel it's a great tool. It's a convenience tool. But we also find that a lot of borrowers, you know, end up misusing it. They go overboard on their spending, and then they realize that they are paying 3.5% interest or 42% annualized interest on their credit cards. So advice over here is to, you know, be cautious with your spends. Take this 2-month period as a to reflect that, you know, what are the expenses that you really need to do, and only then use your credit cards or your savings. So that is my advice to all our listeners.
Fantastic. What a great positive note to end this podcast on, Gaurav. That is so useful. Just pay all your outstandings on time. And especially now when your credit card bills have probably shrunk to essential items, now you know what is essential and what is non-essential. So maybe that can help you in the future. Folks, that is a wrap on this show. My guest, Gaurav Chopra, CEO at IndiaLens. We were talking about the digital Lending 2.0 initiative that India Lens has launched. And of course, we spoke about a lot of other things like the RBI moratorium. And of course, how to manage your credit in these very, very difficult times. I hope you liked the episode. Gaurav, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Anupam.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.